If Labor Day is around the corner, the first day of school will soon be upon us. At Astoria High School, that means a new administration. My guests are the new principal, Lynn Jackson, and new vice principal, Chad Madsen. Welcome to After Deadline.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Lynn Jackson, tell us about how you and Chad Madsen will approach this demanding job of administering the high school.
One of the main things that we're looking at is this year is probably the most revolutionary year in public education in Oregon since the early 90s with Measure 5 and the financial restructuring that took place during that time period. And I graduated from high school in 1993. Mr. Madsen, what year did you graduate?
98.
So this is a new experience for us with this level of impact. And so we're looking at a time in which we have a lot of changes coming down the pike from the national level, the state level, district level. And we're new administrators, at least with our respective roles. This is the first time that's happened at Astoria High School in decades, in which both the principal and the assistant principal are new in their respective roles. So communication, making sure that we know that the right hand's doing this, the left hand needs to reciprocate a certain action, making sure we have that type of behavior and communication is going to be vital. And teamwork and collaboration from not only as an admin team, but our leadership team, as well as through our staff and student body across the board.
Give us an example of some of the changes that are, so to speak, being forced upon high schools in Oregon.
Probably the biggest one is coming from the Oregon State Legislature with Senate Bill 290. Senate Bill 290 is mandating that there is a restructuring in how teacher evaluation takes place. Now, that's not effective until July 1st of 2013, so in a sense we have a year, but we're going to jump on board early and get this going. So this year will be a pilot year, but what we're doing is instead of many of the self-directed plans and only evaluating those teachers who are probationary teachers, all teachers are going to be receiving a number of evaluations. And part of Senate Bill 290 means that you have to have a Likert scale that is more than just two, in a sense. It has to be at least a four levels of evaluation. So
what's a Likert scale?
A scale that goes from 1 to 5 or 1 to 10.
Oh.
And so our scale is based upon a situation in which we have teachers who are unsatisfactory, basic, proficient, and distinguished. And we have those criteria outlined. And so that has to be part of your evaluation. Student performance has to be part of your evaluation. And we're using Charlotte Danielson's framework of those domains, and there are four domains of professional behaviors that you should see. One is planning and preparation. You also have classroom environment, instruction, and then finally, professionalism, professional responsibilities. We're taking those categories based upon their levels of performance and implementing work by a doctor named Kim Marshall, who works on taking snapshots of pedagogy, of good teaching. And we're going to be doing mini observations, compiling that with formal observations to create a quality summative evaluation. And probably, the evaluation point isn't the most important point. The most important point is we have this quick meeting. We have this 10 to 15 minute observation. The value of that is in order to effectively carry this out, you should have a face-to-face conversation within 24 hours with that instructor. And it's
after you've done
that observation.
Observe them, yes.
And we're going to use some pretty advanced technology with some iPad technology and to get aggregate data and evaluate that. But really the value of this is the face-to-face, old-fashioned conversation with the teacher. And so this concept of I'm in my kingdom, I'm in my world, I have all my answers, and this is true with Mr. Madsen and I, that doesn't really work anymore. We have to have collaboration, we have to have teamwork, feedback, and discussion. And so that's what that Senate Bill 290, I think, is really looking for.
Okay. Chad Madsen, you're the vice principal at the high school. Most of us think we know what a principal does, but what's the vice principal do?
I think probably the simplest way to put it is student management. The stigma that goes along with the assistant principal role, especially in a school this size, tends to be discipline.
Yeah.
I like to think of it more along student management lines in terms of, there's certainly a big portion of our of my day that will include dealing with students who may have chosen the wrong path at times. But, I think most importantly, we think of those as teachable moments and again, kind of the whole umbrella of student management, helping kids be successful through high school, helping kids transition from eighth grade to the high school, which we know is a big challenge for students. And then ultimately helping kids get through those 4 years to find whatever they are going to be successful in after that.
Okay. If you just turned in after deadline, I'm your host, Steve Forrester. My guests are Lynn Jackson and Chad Madsen, principal and vice principal of Astoria High School. Now, another element I gather that's new that you'll be bringing in with your administration is what's called Rachel's Challenge, which has to do with anti-bullying. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we're really excited. We met as a consortium of school districts last week and a half ago, actually, in which we're bringing in through consortium dollars, meaning dollars that we have pooled into one set of monies that we can access to bring in a group called Rachel's Challenge. Now, this nonprofit group actually has its origins from the shooting at Columbine, in which Rachel was one of the victims of that shooting, and her father was called upon for a Senate hearing, I believe, to testify on the effects of that day and what maybe led up to that day. And as a result of that hearing and other things that have come about, it ended up evolving into Rachel's Challenge, which is an opportunity for a school district, a community, to sit down to discuss really tolerance, acceptance, communication, empathy. And so we're going to begin on September 24th. On Monday, September 24th, we're going to have Rachel's Challenge in Astoria School District. And throughout the remainder of the week, they will visit Jewel and Warrenton, Napa and Seaside. But that morning, they'll meet with our very young kids, except for kindergartners. So our first and second graders will travel over to Lewis and Clark Elementary, and there will be a brief 45-minute presentation there. Obviously, it's going to be age-appropriate for those elementary students about being friends and how can we help all students feel accepted. And that's going to be first grade through fifth grade. Later on that afternoon, they'll come over to the high school, in which we're going to have the Astoria Middle School students visiting us, and there will be a presentation given to them. Beginning in the afternoon, Astoria High School students will attend an assembly, which will last for about an hour, and we'll discuss those themes that we have just already mentioned, but it will be more intense, we will say, as the age appropriateness has ratcheted up. And at the end of that, we are going to have 100 students from the Astoria student body, ranging from our student athletes to our artists to our very academic students to those students who are in alternative activities, extreme sports, or whatever the case may be. And they're going to participate in a broad-based training of the tactics and strategies that they've discussed throughout that morning or that afternoon. And hopefully our intent is that we will then implement those strategies throughout the year. And we have a senior, Shelby Durst, who's using this as her senior project, and she's going to help coordinate many of these activities. And then later on in the evening, we're going to have a community event in which parents, community members are going to be invited back to the high school auditorium, in which questions and feedback can be offered at that time too.
Now, is it safe to say, or accurate, I should say, that the demography of the high school student population has changed in the last decade or two, that there are more nationalities represented?
Interestingly enough, our populations haven't changed that much in the last 10 years, but compared to, there was a bubble in the early 2000s that, yes, that did occur, in which we had a much larger Hispanic population come in.
Right.
And we do have some other ethnicities and cultures that are represented there, but that's kind of leveled off over the last few years. And what Astoria High School benefits from is the quality work that's taking place at the elementary level and the middle school level, in which I feel that there is a lot of acceptance. Many of our students who come in as English language learners exit that program prior to even arriving at the high school. So they were students who benefited from those programs, but by the time they get to the high school, they have been, while still celebrating their own culture, are still part of the broader student body activities, and they're part of us. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that type of fragmentation that could exist in other areas.
Yeah. Larry Lockett, your predecessor, started an annual event, I guess, called Diversity Day at the high school. And I've forgotten what that stemmed from, but I know there was an incident of some sort that prompted him to do that. And does this sort of follow on that? This is Rachel's Challenge, I understand, is a new thing nationally. But is this sort of like that, or?
Yeah, it's going to be much more about accepting all students for who they are, not necessarily agreeing with you know, we don't have to have the same think process per se, but respecting to acceptance of we as individuals all have worth, and we as individuals can create a community in which we can all fulfill our maximum potential. And I think that's really what the premise is, and that we're going to grow as a community from this, that our phrase, you know, our group IQ, social IQ is going to improve and expand because of this activity. But I think, as I stated earlier, it's more important than that's just this activity, because if it's just September 24th and then it dies away, then really it's going to be a two-week flash in the pan, and yeah, we're not going to benefit from this. So having the activities that follow up, the activities that we are going to hopefully integrate through our student government throughout the year and the years to come, and making that vertical alignment with the middle school as well, hopefully we'll see those benefits, such as the Diversity Day. But it won't be just a day. It'll be something that we've made part of who we are.
Now, one of the challenges I know you have is keeping some kids in school. We read about the dropout rate nationally, statewide, and so on and so forth. Is that one of the elements of your job, Chad, is making sure kids come to school,
in school? Certainly attendance truancy is a big part of my job. One thing we're exploring this year, and as a matter of fact, this week we're going to be meeting again with our local ESD truancy officer. And I know Warrenton School District has taken advantage of the ESD school truancy officer in the last year or maybe two, where we've actually gotten them involved with helping us get kids in school. At times, even possibly an appearance in front of Judge Nelson, if truancy becomes a greater issue. Clearly, our biggest job is to get kids in school, and so if we can access the help that's available to us, that's something we're going to look into doing this year.
Sure.
I think one of the foundational points of that is we want to make sure that the engagement level of our students through good teaching, good activities is high, because if they feel like they're a part of something, going back to this racial challenge, if they feel like they're a part of something larger than themselves, then the chances of them even leading to truancy or leading to absenteeism rates that are high, that is greatly diminished. And so you want to front load it by providing quality instruction. We have great teachers. We have dedicated staff and caring individuals to get them involved in those types of activities that create that relationship with a caring adult. And then hopefully we don't have to go back to the scare tactic of hey, you're going to end up in front of Judge Nelson if that doesn't happen. But we know that there will be some instances in which that will probably occur.
The pressures on school kids these days are much different, I'm sure, than they were when we all went to school. I being further back than you are, but among other things, they look at an economy that's not terrific and hard to get a job and all that sort of thing. Do you find that those realities seep into the psyche of the high school senior?
I was going to say especially the high school senior, and I think that first reality check is simply they know that education is the gateway to broadening their futures. However, when you look at tuition costs that are, you are well aware, as you've had your two children going through that process, the cost of receiving a quality post-secondary education is high. And when you're looking at, okay, that's an investment, I can do that. But when you look at, well, there's not much opportunity after that stage because of the struggles in the current economy, I think that does create some challenges, especially for those who don't have an already intrinsic motivation to seek that education.
Right. Now, one of the options that Astoria High School kids have is Class Up College. In two ways, I gather. One is after they graduate, but there is some concurrent enrollment, I gather, with the college, with some of your students. How does that work?
There are a number of varieties in which, or ways in which you can approach this. You can have articulated credit. You can have dual enrollment. And so what we're exploring is we're actually having a number of options. We have some classes that are articulated, meaning they're offered by Astoria High School staff, but they have received the training and gone through the process to have their class verified, we'll use that word, to receive post-high school secondary credits. such as in conjunction with Clatsop Community College. So we have some business classes that fall into that realm and some other classes that deal with the trades. Then this year also, we've been very fortunate because of the generosity of Scholarship Inc. that we have actually a college professor who's coming down, and he's going to be teaching, Rich Beveridge, he's going to be teaching calculus on our campus. And so our students throughout the course of the year, at a minimal cost, only the cost of the book really is all they have to pay for, they're going to be able to receive up to 13 credits of Clatsop Community College calculus credit upon graduation.
That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. If you look at the cost, again, Scholarship Inc. was very generous in giving us the $10,000 to help pay for that. In fact, it primarily did in its entirety pay for that class. But we're looking at the cost benefit is almost $45,000 for those students who are receiving that class.
And on top of that, we found in the past we've been able to send our calculus students that were interested in taking calculus were able to go up to the college. But as a math department, they found we just weren't getting a lot of interest. It's hard to schedule that, and it's also just an inconvenience a lot of times to get up there during the day. With the calculus class now coming down to the school, we've at least doubled the enrollment from last year for calculus. So, you know, in terms of graduation requirements and like you said, you know, the job market getting to what it is, it's nice to be able to ratchet up the rigor a little bit and make it more convenient for our students.
And when you look at the overall scope of how schools are being evaluated, there, for those of you who have been paying attention to the news since about 2001 with regards to educational reform, you've heard of No Child Left Behind. Well, No Child Left Behind this year allowed states to have a waiver to apply for, hey, if we comply with these certain aspects, will you allow us to be waived from the requirements that deal with No Child Left Behind? And Oregon's proposal was accepted. Part of our proposal is that there are five things that the high schools are now being evaluated upon. One of those is how many of our students are receiving 9 credits or more of post-secondary credit upon graduation from high school. So what is our partnership with the local community college, with online outreach? What are we doing there to help our students get a jump start to their college career?
When you were talking about Clatsop College earlier, you mentioned trade programs. What are some of those?
Those have been, because of the state of funding, those have been minimized some in the last few years. We used to have quite a bit more resources financially to allow our students to engage in that, but we have had students in the past in the trades dealing with working with seamanship and working with welding, fire cadets. We have some students who work with a partnership with Columbia Memorial, in which they are actually receiving credit heading into the nursing field. And so those are some of those trades, ranging from working in the water, working behind a welder or on a welder, or working in the medical field.
Yeah. Would you have a surmise of what percentage of your students take advantage of those?
It used to be very, very high. We used to have as high as 50, 60 students going out to the Mertz Center to work on that. That has been greatly reduced over the last few years. I would say right now we're looking at somewhere between 5 to 10% of our students are taking advantage of those traits.
At budget time this year, I guess it was in the spring, there was some controversy about the marching band and music, I guess, in general. What is the where have things been left? What is the status of music education at the high school?
The high school's music program is actually going pretty strongly. In fact, if you go by my office right now, you'll hear ding, 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 ding as the band's already practicing, and it's incessant, actually. It started about an hour ago, and it'll continue until about probably 7 or 8 o'clock tonight with the marching band. At Astoria High School, we have a student body right now of about 630 students. We've declined some as the population of Astoria has changed over the last few years. And with that population of 630, we are one of only 4 schools in the state of Oregon our size that still has an orchestra. So if you look at the music program across the board, we have a very diverse music program with regards to offerings for a school our size. So you have jazz band, you have orchestra, you have symphonic bands, you have 3 different types of choirs. And so we have a bunch of offerings that really don't exist typically. The sticking point that we had last year was marching band, and there became a challenge of looking at the enrollment numbers, the projected enrollment numbers. There was some confusion regarding around where we were with that. But the main focus was we were in a budget time in which X amount of dollars had to be cut, and we were looking at trying to free up those funds to, well, not free up those funds, we had to cut those funds, and that cut was made. When that cut took place, because of the efforts, the focused efforts of the band boosters, they were able to come up with the sufficient money to supplement the salary and pay for that salary of the band instructor to still have that as a credited class.
Now, you said something that I had not understood. I want you to say it again, because on radio you can't write it down. You can't go back and look at it again if you were reading it. And that was that Astoria is one of how many schools?
Four.
Only
the
four.
The last time I took a look, we were one of only four schools with an orchestra. And Ms. Calvin Peterson is doing a great job with how that – I mean, you look at the 7th and 8th grade numbers. I went to visit the middle school last year, and there were kids kind of peeking their head in the door from the hallway playing their violin. And so we have a great feeder program. And I know Astoria as a community, we celebrate those arts. And you can see that our students, our young students, are getting that exposure. And I'm certainly hopeful that we can maintain that type of program.
You mentioned online education a bit ago. Where does that fit in terms of Astoria High School? How's it work?
Online education for Astoria High School is actually multifaceted. Mm-hmm. And so you have students that can use it as credit recovery, students who have failed classes in the past, and they can use online classes to meet those requirements. That would be typically a senior who possibly wasn't paying attention like they should have when they were a freshman and didn't pass freshman health. They could take a proficiency-based program through Odysseyware or another company, and they can, through demonstrating their proficiency in that subject matter, they can pass and earn that credit. If they don't have that proficiency, then they're going to have to go through and take the class and the content again, not necessarily in a structured traditional setting, but they are going to have to go through that curriculum again. So that's one way in which that happens. The student is a student of the traditional AHS campus, maybe supplementing their curriculum through an online program. There are other programs that are more, we'll say, online programs that are face-to-face through communication via either phone or email, and even sometimes how we're going to work through Astoria School District is face-to-face interviews themselves, in which you are in the same room as your instructor. How that works is through Florida Virtual Academy, we're going to have students enrolled in this course. Let's say it's a biology course. You sit down and you're working through an online curriculum, but as a requirement, every week you are having at least one contact with the instructor themselves. Now, the instructor isn't based in Florida. We're just using their curriculum and their software and their programs. The instructor may be Mr. Mike Baker, who's working at the high school, and you may be taking the class through Florida Virtual Academy, but at 3:30, you have an appointment that afternoon to go in and say, Mr. Baker, I didn't quite get that point. Even your email was kind of, I still didn't get it. Could you help explain that to me? And they can receive that instruction that way. And that's another avenue that we're doing. And we're using that primarily through our online program, through Gray School Campus, our Alt-Ed program.
Now, there's another element in the Astoria Astoria schools, more largely, which is the alternative high school, which is at Gray School in that building. And you don't run that, I gather. That someone else is running that?
No, we run that.
You do run it.
It
okay.
is part of Astoria High School.
Okay. How do you go about managing that? It's in a separate location, but it's students who have been in the high school and they've chosen to go there. How does that work?
Again, going back to our very first statement today, it's about communication, knowing what that right hand and that left hand are doing. So it is in a different location. It's at Gray Elementary, where it's on the second floor. So the district office is on the third floor, and the school board rooms and those meeting rooms. And then right below that on the second floor is where we have Gray School Campus. Right now we have 37 students that are enrolled in Gray, and next week we're hoping to have 5 more interviews because it is an interview process. They have to apply to go to the school. They sit down, they have an interview with myself, and we have a counselor, which we share with Astor Elementary, Meche Brownlow, who works with those students and to help them fulfill. They need to know what their graduation plan is, they need to know the requirements they need to fulfill, and to help provide guidance in general to how they're going to succeed in their education. We also have a new teacher this year, Alexa Haller. She's coming from Lewis and Clark Elementary, actually, to help facilitate some online instruction, not necessarily the Florida Virtual Academy, which she is trained and she knows what's going on with that online program, but also to facilitate K-12 curriculum through the district, which is called Oregon Choice Academy. So that's our third component of that online instruction, in which we have students that are accessing online. And so if you think about what used to be a traditional homeschooled student, they can actually go through Astoria School District, acquire that curriculum, have that curriculum be validated and certified, as well as paid for through the school district, or through the funds that we get through the ADM formula. So Grace School Campus, you're going to have a variety of students. You're going to have some students that just go to Grace School Campus, the Alt-Ed program. You're going to have some students who will go to school in the morning at Astoria High School, just like a traditional setting, but go up to Grace School Campus in the afternoon. So you're right, being on top of knowing who's who, when they're supposed to be there, what are their plans, that's a tough job. And Meche Brownlow and Alexa Haller are going to be our point women on making sure that we get that taken care of.
And the goal of all of it is to get as many kids through with a diploma.
Right. We don't all learn the same way.
Right.
We don't all have the same interests. We don't all have the same background and challenges. And so the goal is, these students struggled. These students struggled in that traditional setting. And maybe they just need a hybrid type of schedule, or maybe they just need a fresh start in a different setting, allow them to push forward at their own pace. We had one young lady last year that graduated in 3 years because she struggled in a traditional setting, but excelled in a setting in which she could push herself as fast as she could go. And she was very successful in tailoring her education that way.
Last topic, athletics. Very exciting development with the high school, with the hospital doing a deal with the school district to get a new athletic field. That won't happen, of course, for a year, I guess, but a year or two. But that's on your horizon, I gather.
Yeah, interestingly enough, we have not been figures in that discussion. I learned more last week just through an informal discussion with Superintendent Hoppus than I had known at all throughout this whole process coming up to this stage. So I spoke with Mayor Van Dusen this morning and Mr. Benoit in an informal meeting in which we were discussing that. And there's a lot of benefits for all parties involved, the hospital, the city, as well as the school district. I'm excited to have a place in which we're going to be able to play without standing in mud up to our ankles.
Yeah.
John Warren has that rich tradition and heritage, and that's going to be hard to let go of. But at the same time, to be able to play on a field that allows not only our football teams, but our softball team, soccer squads. I think the soccer squads are probably still going to explore staying out at the complex in Warrenton.
Four fields out.
Right. It's such a beautiful complex out there. But our spring sports, the challenges of getting a baseball game in late April is are huge.
Yeah.
But to get that on turf, that's going to be a great opportunity for us.
So it goes without saying that I think you're looking forward to next week with keen anticipation.
Absolutely.
Fair amount of excitement.
Absolutely. Well, I know for me, we've been back for about a month now. And this being my first stint as an assistant principal, being a teacher for the last 9 years, I miss kids. I have to pretty much look at Mr. Jackson every day for the last 4 weeks, and it'd be nice to get some kids in there and get this thing started. I'm sure all those kids are excited too.
Well, my guests today on After Deadline have been Lynn Jackson and Chad Madsen, principal and vice principal of Astoria High School. This is After Deadline. We're a joint production of The Daily Astorian and Coast Community Radio.